We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome into the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. My name is Andrew Laird, Senior Soccer Editor of RotoWire, joined once again by Ryan Belongi today to talk about Tuesday's Italy versus Spain showdown in the Euros semifinal. Ryan, I was saying to you just before that I realized something as I was getting ready for this podcast, that the last time Italy was on a showdown slate, you won it.
Hey, yeah. we had been saying that all it takes is one slate to erase two tough weeks and get you back into the green. And that's what happened. Got fortunate to take down the Belgium-Italy showdown a couple nights ago for a little over 7,000. Did so with a cheap captain. So we can get into that, I guess, strategy for today's showdown and whether it's viable or not.
So we were talking, so that game was during our podcast. And so we finished and you were like, wait a minute, I'm in first right now. And This was, it was either still halftime or, we had plenty of game left. And you were like, well, at least I get a sweat here because showdown, standings move so much that, winning at halftime doesn't always mean everything. But then the game ended. And you were still there. And so
it was
fun.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I don't know, maybe once or twice that I've had a lineup hang on that was leading at halftime. Pretty crazy. The construction helped quite a bit. Also Barella helped quite a bit, who ended up as the game's top scorer, and I had him as the captain. The slate ended, though. I think the slate ended and I was up 0.02, just waiting on that stat correction. And there was one, and ended up winning by 0.01. So as close of a margin as you can get, but we will definitely take it.
Of course. Of course. I remember looking at that lineup thinking to myself, there's no way I get to a Barella captain lineup. And that's more on me than it is on what can happen. But I think what I underestimate in building GPP lineups for showdown is I underestimate what can happen. And so I kind of go through the what should happen or what I think will happen, and I don't give nearly enough thought to what could happen. And a Barella captain lineup fully falls in that range that I was like, I'm not even sure I would have rostered Barella, let alone a captain. But we've seen he had scored earlier in the tournament. We know that he can score a goal. And as soon as I saw that lineup, and particularly with that lineup, and it kind of applies a little bit for this Italy-Spain one, if you can find the lowest priced guy who ends up being the highest scoring player and use him as captain, then you can play anyone you want. Mm-hmm. And so I'm here to learn as much as everybody else who's listening.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about that construction a little bit. Because I think just in general, people underestimate or overestimate the importance of the captain spot or what you how many points you really need there. But yeah, I'll save that. I'm going to talk about that after we get into it.
Yeah. So we have obviously the single game, Italy, Spain. Italy favored, but it's close. I think it's certainly going to be the closer of the two semifinals. I think England are a bigger favorite over Denmark, but obviously we're at a point in the tournament where we have two very good teams. So I don't even know, like, there's no reason to go into like whether one's better or not. These are two very good teams. There are some injury situations that could open up some starting spots for people, but generally this should be close. And I think you've said it before that people don't utilize goalkeeper enough in showdown. I don't think that's going to be the case in this game. Like, I think people are going to be willing to go there.
Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, they should be willing to go there. Goalkeeper on both sides, yeah, is a great option. Italy, slight favorites, total hovering around 2.25 with a little bit of juice on the under. Yeah, two good teams. You're right. Wouldn't be surprising to see any of them win 1-0, 2-1, 1-1. Like you said, we don't really need to get into who's better or who's going to win. I mean, we don't know just as much as everyone else doesn't know. Just make sure these showdown lineups, you're planning for an exact score and then make a lineup that fits that.
I love that strategy. I love it. So I actually made a lineup earlier, and I think GPP versus cash lineups in showdown, we've said kind of for classic slates, you can generally start with a cash lineup and make a tweak or two, and it makes it much more of a GPP lineup. For GPP lineups in showdown, and we have this main tournament for tomorrow, $18 entry. It's just over 10,000 entries. I don't think a slightly changed cash lineup is going to win this showdown. So we've got a 150 max entry. So I think we're going to see pretty much every lineup you can come up with is going to be thrown out here. Are there any that you think are more popular than others?
Yeah. Okay. So first, let's just say, yeah, the 150 lineup max entry. People have still been winning solo, and a lot of showdowns, the nuts doesn't even hit. The showdown that I just won was not the nuts. And then also with such a big first prize, 50K, normally I'm someone who will try to avoid the most chalky lineups because I don't want to tie with a lot of people. When there's 50K to first, I think tying is a little bit more okay. So I would say if you usually try to avoid those super chalky lineups, play a few of them if you want, if you really like them. A tie is not so bad today. And the super chalky lineups I'm talking about are like, the 1-0 lineups that play for the clean sheet with the goalie, two defenders, and the set piece takers. Those are always the chalkiest, whether it's with the goalie captain or with one of the set piece takers or center forwards as the captain. Those lineups that leave, 200 salary left, 100, 300, something like that. Those are what I think would be the most popular lineups. And yeah, I think they're still okay. Like, yeah, share of that 50K will be nice either way. So I'll go back to what I was saying and relate it to the last Italy slate, the one that I won with the Barella captain. Was actually very fortunate to still win that one. I wasn't planning on Barella to be the slate's highest score. I mean, not at all. For example, let's just think back to that last showdown. The lineup that was chasing me was an Insigne captain. Well, there was a few of them, but an Insigne captain. And the only difference in the lineup was it had Jorginho and mine had Chiesa. So the reason why Captain Barella was to fit those expensive, all those expensive players, KDB and Lukaku from Belgium, and then the two set piece takers from Italy, Insigne and Verratti, and then it got me Chiesa. So I play around with the scores a little bit, or at least some projections to figure out like what's going to be viable. For example, like if Insigne scores 20 points and Barella scores 8, you're down 6 points against the Insigne captain, getting the 1.5x. And the only difference in that lineup is Chiesa versus Jorginho, or everyone Jorginho and under, everyone in that range. So he just has to score, or Chiesa just has to outscore that whole range by 6 points to make that lineup better or optimal even. And I think people don't think of that a lot of times, that like Insigne or KDB or Lukaku or whoever it was, they can score 25 even. And if your cheap captain scores 10, that's like a big difference. But it doesn't matter if the construction's right, where if there's going to be a gap, all the expensive players do well, and then sort of no one in the mid-range does well, and you get, I guess, the highest scoring punt. This slate, it doesn't seem quite as optimal. Like, I was playing around with cheaper captains, and the sacrifice, what it gets you is, like, it gets you like Emerson or Barella or Azpilicueta instead of like Pedri or Busquets. And like, to me, that's not like, it's not like getting Chiesa instead of Pedri or Busquets. So like, while it still can happen, I don't love it as much on this slate. Like when I roster cheaper captains, I'm looking for like all the expensive players to do well. Like, you need Insigne to do well, Torres, Immobile to score, maybe Morata to score too. So if you're going to play a cheaper captain, it can work, but it's going to work in games that are 2-2. You need like your cheap guy, like say it's Pedri or Busquets or Jorginho, to maybe get an assist and end up with 10 points. And if all those expensive guys like score 25, you might think you would need that as a captain, but a lot of times you don't. You just need to be able to fit it all in the lineup.
Right, because everybody who's captaining one of the expensive guys doesn't have all of them like you do.
Exactly. And I know that was like a bit confusing. I was thinking of like a million things, but it's very easy to just, it's very like when I first started playing showdowns in all the sports, I would literally just write out on a piece of paper like projection ranges for each guys, and then like figure out what they need in the captain spot to be optimal over a different captain. Like, just sort of do the 2v2 on paper and see what comes out ahead, basically.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Like, I don't think enough people do the 2v2. They just kind of look at, well, if the guy I captain scores 10 and the cheap guy scores 10 and the expensive guy who I want to captain scores 20, then I'm dead. But they don't actually consider the other one in the 2v2. And it's, if it gets you the difference between, you know, Jorginho and KDB, that's a huge difference. Like, that'll make it up. And so you're going to want that other side, the KDB side, because you can make it up even without the multiplier.
Right. So yeah, then when I first look at this slate, it just like, you're going to need goals for like a construction like that to work, because the expensive attackers on both sides get subbed and they don't put up like huge floors, you know, like a KDB, for instance, or, so you need a score line that has goals and assists for all those guys. And then it would be viable.
Yep. Before I go in to my next question, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that the top prize of this main GPP is 50,000. You also get a King of the Cup ticket. Sixth place is $500, mm-hmm. which is just absolutely wild to me to see 50,000 to 500 in five spots down. But anyway,
it's really bad. Yeah, it's really bad. Again, makes tying for first perfectly okay.
Right. Although, right. And so if you have the sixth highest scoring lineup, you're probably still not even getting 500 on that
entry. Right. No, you're not.
So anyway, because we don't expect a lot of goals in this slate or in this game, excuse me, how popular do you think the Donnarumma or Simone captain lineups are?
Oh yeah. You brought up goalie. Yeah, I think they'll be popular. And they should be. I hope they're not, but yeah, like they're two of the guys that I look to captain first. Not only are they a great price, but like the winning goalkeeper is like very, very likely to be on the winner.
Yeah.
If I didn't captain the goalie, I'd still try to get goalie in most of my lineups. I mean, again, unless you're playing for 2-2 or even 2-1. But yeah, I think like it seems like a slate where it's going to be tough for six of the players to score in double digits, and it's pretty easy for the keepers to get there. I mean, even if they allow a goal, mm-hmm. and the salaries are like, they're cheap. Like if you just look at the guys that they're in the same range with. So yeah, to your question about captain, they make for great captains too. If either of them keep a clean sheet, it's, you know, they have a chance to just be the highest overall score on the slate. So I do, yeah, I think it'll be popular and it should be, but there's ways to differentiate at least a little bit, I think.
I think one of the things that people I think what people get wrong is that if a goalie gives up a goal, he's dead. And on a showdown, I think particularly this one, and it's just like you said, if you look at the players who are priced around the goalies, the path to, I don't even want to call it 10 points. Let's call it 6 to 10.
Yeah.
For Donnarumma or Simone, I mean, they're in the range with Jordi Alba. They're cheaper than Spinazzola, and Donnarumma is more expensive. So he's 6,400, Simone's 6,000. Close game, they're going to be closely priced. But like Barella's below him, Llorente, like these are guys who can have good games. But, you know, if they don't get on this, if you're only relying on the floors of those guys, the goalies are kind of in that range as well. And the ceilings are probably similar. If, you know, if the Italy gets a 1-0 clean sheet, you know, 1-0 win, Donnarumma is going to be in the 20 range. And anybody who scores a goal in that salary range too probably ends up in the same spot.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I just thought of like a lineup that I make in those situations. And some other people do this too, but you know, take one of your common lineups. Like let's say it's an Italy to win 1-0 lineup, and Insigne or Immobile and or Chiesa, one of those three are the goal scorer. You know, the lineup that you would want is them captain with Donnarumma and a couple defenders maybe. You can take that exact lineup and just switch the captain. Whichever Italy forward, switch to Donnarumma, and you're going to have like, I don't know, 3K salary left or like something like a lot. It will help you. It will help you get different. And like you said, they have a good chance to just be the slate's overall top scorer. So, I like to do that sometimes. And the other thing, about you said, yeah, if they give up a goal, a lot of times people don't want to include the goalie in the lineup where they aren't playing for a clean sheet. I was fortunate enough in that Italy-Belgium showdown that no one did that. I didn't have the nuts. All you had to do was switch Donnarumma in my lineup in for Chiesa, and you win all the money solo. So it was nice that nobody did that. And I understood why. I mean, you wouldn't captain Barella necessarily if you were going to make lineups like that. But and the goalies too. One more thing about the goalies. They go 120 minutes, and in shootouts, they get points for those shootout saves. So, I mean, it's something.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point too, for sure. So I made a lineup to start, and the first one I went through was more of a, what I thought was a cash build, and landed right on zero salary remaining. Should I just throw that out for GPP? or for this big GPP?
Yeah, maybe. I guess it depends what it is. I mean, I want to have you just tell me the whole lineup. But yeah, just zero salary left. I think there are some that can work. Okay, my Barella captain had zero salary left. It was one of the reasons I almost didn't put it in. It was the last lineup I put in. It was one of those, it was just so satisfying. I was avoiding putting it in just because it had zero salary left, but it was just the only way to afford all of the guys that I wanted. So I just did it, and man, I would have been so tilted if I didn't. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, if it's the best lineup and it ties, who cares? But I guess also, I've never played showdown cash in soccer, not even once. So I don't even know like how to build the best lineups necessarily. I know who most of the players are, but I guess maybe I'm not quite sure what you mean.
I think generally you start with both set piece takers, or as many as you can get if they split. And then you kind of, the salary kind of works your way down that way. But generally, like, on this slate, I don't think anybody plays in cash. I don't think you play Immobile over Insigne. You don't play Morata over Dani Olmo. You know, it's like moves like that. That
right.
Okay. Because with cash, you want to usually not think about goals. And obviously, there are situations where you need goal upside in your lineup. But I think almost on this slate that in cash, nobody plays the goal scorers, because you can get the set piece takers, and then it kind of goes into what we were talking about before. Do you play the goalies or not?
Yeah, and I was that's where it differentiates. For cash, in games like this, I don't know. I could see people not playing goalies. Goalies don't really seem like a cash play, but I guess it depends on the price, and I guess the who's priced around them. But yeah, like, can a lineup like that work? Well, if it doesn't have goalies, it needs goals, right, from both sides. We have some set piece takers that can score goals in this game. I guess we'll just like run through it. Insigne, Verratti actually took one more corner. I think he took three and Insigne took two, in the game against Belgium. So that's pretty notable. We had been just sort of saying that Insigne would have a majority of them. The Spanish set piece situation, it looks like Dani Olmo is going to start in place of Sarabia. I guess we didn't talk about that. Olmo took five corners when he came on. Koke had four, but I'm not sure what the split was when they were both on the pitch. I know that Koke wasn't on the pitch for a lot of the time that Olmo was, although Olmo did come on at half, so they'd probably split anyways, considering they take with opposite feet. So I had one more thing I was going to say. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank. Help me out here.
So the cash build, if you, I hate like basically walking people down lineups. But you can, if you play all the set piece takers and you really don't think about the goals, it makes sense to play the goalies. Like you, if you only think that there are going to be floor points in this game, then you don't have to worry about the goalies conceding. And then, you know, you can play for a scoreless 90 minutes and, you know, you can get your clean sheets that way. You know, if it's a scoreless through 120, you know, like, and then you have the goalies who are the only ones who get points after that. But
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Like, set piece takers make it easier to not worry about goals. And if you're not worrying about goals, that almost just walks you into the playing at least one goalie.
Yeah. I mean, it just, it seems to make sense to me. I always like playing the goalies in these showdowns for all the reasons we've talked about.
Yeah.
So like if it's at least viable in cash, then yeah, I like going there. They're safer in these games when you have a lot of subs and games going to extra time, and even not going to extra time, there's just not that many guys that put up huge games from a floor perspective.
Right.
We'll say Danny Almo. I mean, Danny Almo put up 22 floor points when he came on against Switzerland. 22. I wouldn't expect that against Italy, but that's notable.
Yeah, he finished less than a point under his previous game when he had two assists.
Crazy.
But yeah, I think like I'm just trying to go through thinking to myself, like, who are going to be the popular guys? And I feel like It has to be Olmo after these two games, if he starts, especially with set pieces. Insigne has been popular on every slate he's on. So it's basically those two, I think, are the first two from each team.
Yes.
You think about Koke, like, I think Koke is more popular in cash than he is in GPP. And I think that's, he should be. The upside is completely assist dependent. Not to say Olmo has been scoring goals, but he's just more of an attacking player. He's playing in the front three as opposed to Koke. And then kind of after that, I'm not sure like who jumps out. Like, I think you just try to correlate those two. At least I think that's where most people go. So like if you play Insigne, you play Chiesa with him, or Immobile. Or if you play Olmo, maybe you pair him with Morata if he starts. Like, I just think you kind of pick one guy and then it's like, who makes sense with him? It doesn't have to be just one player also, but you at least need somewhere to start.
Right. You need somewhere to start. I think in Insigne, he will be the most popular player from Italy. And like you said, Olmo, he's... the way we had been thinking about Sarabia on the last couple slates, I mean, that's what Almo is now, if not even a little better. I don't know. I think of him as the same. A decent starting point seems like, if you just want to, for either team, Almo and Chiesa are priced right next to each other, 8K and 7K. They're both the cheapest out of the front three for their respective teams. So if you want to make, I think that's a good starting point. Try to make like a 1-1 lineup or a 2-2 lineup in that game. Just see what price points fit in your lineup. Going below that, yeah, Koke and Verratti, I think both pretty good options too. Even for GPP, I agree that like you don't love Koke as much, but he can still, he's still viable. Like I like playing Italy clean sheet teams that have both Koke and Almo. If Italy go up 1-0 early, those two guys from Spain are likely to be on the winner chasing the game. Jordi Alba can fall into that category too. Sure. This middle range, yeah, like I don't love. That's why I was saying before that cheap captain, I wasn't as sure about it. I guess like it depends how you feel about these players. Barella, Emerson, Azpilicueta. I like Emerson's not Spinazzola. They're playing against Spain. Like I think the bottom three mids, and I'm talking about Jorginho, Pedri, and even Busquets, like it's okay to have to go there instead of that middle range. So again, like when I make these lineups, like for a specific score, like whether it's 1-0, like think of also when that goal is going to come. Like I mentioned, like 1-0 Italy lineups, if they score early, you're going to want more Spain, as the run back. If they, you know, if the game is 0-0 until the 70th or 80th minute, that's when you can go for 5-1 stacks and just get all the clean sheets. You know, the set piece takers might be off the field by then. You can captain goalies in that situation. Yeah,
I think that's
help me out.
That middle range is weird. Like you, so the, you winning with a Barella captain lineup, obviously it has nothing to do with this game, but like, it doesn't make you think I'll just run that back.
Yeah, I might have to have one or two Barella captains. I mean, he is cheap. So yeah, you can still like, make theoretically better lineups, captaining a cheaper player than an expensive player, and you don't need them to score as much as the expensive players, like we said. Barella up to 5,600 now. He was 48 on the last slate. Part of the reason I liked him. And I guess ownership percentages too make me like some of these guys more. On that last slate where I captained Barella, I was pretty surprised. He was 12% owned, which I thought was really low for that price, and he was 1% captained.
Yep.
Just some of the other Italy guys, like Chiesa, for example, 45%, and I think he was like 8% captained. Verratti was also about 45% owned and 7% captain. So like, it's always weird to me. It's easy to say in hindsight that like Barella was a great play, but to be significantly cheaper and also like a fourth of the ownership and an eighth of the captain ownership, it seems like, yeah, those are the opportunities or that I'm looking for, I guess.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. I mean, I think you can't underestimate the fact that being unique is going to be so much more beneficial than not. I mean, we were talking about obviously sharing 50,000 is much nicer than, you know, sharing 5,000, but
right. But you don't want to share, you're right, with 25 different people, and there'll be lineups that are duplicated 30 times in the
start. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely. In fact, I think I have one that might be duplicated 300 times. So like,
there'll be a couple.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, it's true that you can't, I mean, that doesn't say make dumb lineups, but you, the thinking about ownership on a, in a GPP of this size, like we know, we just don't get that this many entries in soccer often. And so the planning for uniqueness or building for uniqueness is just not something that we need to do a lot in soccer. And so we need to, this is a time where we need to think of it because there are, you know, 10,000 entries in here. We're not trying to beat 3,000, it's 10,000. And so
and we start from there. No, I agree 100%. I'm just looking at, I was just playing around with Barella captained. And those him and those cheaper guys, they do work. If you make specific lineups like that have Insignia, Ferran Torres, one of or both of Morata or Immobile. So yeah, those cheap captains are viable, but I would use them with that construction of having all the expensive players. Use them to afford the expensive players, I guess, rather than use them hoping they're the highest scorer on the slate. Like it would have won solo last slate. Like we just talked about that, but I normally wouldn't make like a Barella captain that was also playing for a clean sheet with Donnarumma defenders and the Spain set piece takers. Like a lot of times, like a goal from one of these cheaper guys sometimes won't even outscore the keeper in a 1-0 game. Like a lot of times often. So I tend just not to make those type of lineups. Again, they have a good chance of winning solo if it happens where Barella ends up the highest score on the slate. But yeah, that's rare.
Makes sense. Where do you fall on subs?
Okay. I like playing subs. The first thing I'll say is that I wouldn't mind if anyone who listens to this never plays subs ever. One of the reasons I like them is because nobody plays them. So if you don't want to play subs, please don't play subs. I love making the lineups, the chalk lineups, usually for a 1-0 or 2-0 game, clean sheet lineups, because I'll make a lineup that, like a chalky lineup that has Immobile and just do a straight swap for Belotti, like the same lineup.
Yep.
Or the same thing with Morata and Moreno. Like you need the goal. You're looking for the goal. So I'll do it with center forwards. And I'll do it in clean sheet lineups only because for me, it's just too risky to try to get the goal from the other team. Like I'm not going to play a sub, in hopes that they come on with their team down 1-0. That happens a lot, but you need the goal from the other side. I've seen people do that. Don't love it. It's just your lineups are going to be dead so many times.
Yeah.
I love playing subs though on clean sheet teams, either with the keeper captain or with the set piece taker captain. And the reason that they're so good is because, well, one, the guys come in at 1% ownership.
Yeah.
And in these games, especially if they come on, 70th minute, there's a chance they can play 70 minutes if the game goes 120, yeah. at least close. But also, if they score, they help so much for leverage, not only because they're low owned, but because they're low owned, the rest of your lineup doesn't have to be perfect. Like not even close. You can have mistakes in the punt spots. And what I mean is like, you don't have to get the 1v1 right of if you want the center back or the center defensive mid or the center back or the wing back from the other team. there can be 1, 2, 3 point differences in those guys. And your sub scoring the goal and say 15 points, and the guy that you have him in for, you know, only scored 5, 6, 7, and he would be optimal most times if nobody played subs, because, you know, you have to fill six players, and a chalky guy can fail a little bit and still be on the winning lineup. But your sub can just erase any mistakes from like the bottom half of your lineup.
I think
if that made any sense.
I think that was all great points. Like, I think people like the idea of, they're like, oh, I'll just get a low owned whoever because he's not starting and nobody's going to play him. But if you can get the, like, if Immobile is going to be really popular and he comes off and you get Belotti, like, that is more leverage than you could ever ask for.
It's just, yeah, it's great. And I mean, it's the best feeling too. It's the best. it's honestly, it's the best sweat when you play one of the chalky lineups and just switch the center forward for who's ever going to be subbed on for them. There's so much upside there. And it happens frequently enough where it's not just like, you're not just like punting your money. It's more viable than you even think. And it doesn't hurt you that much.
Right. I mean, depending on the player, I mean, we keep saying Belotti because he's been coming in for Immobile so much, but like Berardi's there too. Could come in for Chiesa or.
Right. For me, I do it with, I want my guy to come on first and foremost. So whichever guy I think is like for sure going to come on, is where I'll start. And who also can score a goal, because you don't want, you know, your sub can come on and score you 3, 4, 5 points. That's, you need the goal. You need the goal.
Right. You're not grabbing a sub for 30 minutes of floor points here.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I've been burned by subs in terms of not playing them. Like, one of my best finishes was the Real Madrid Champions League final when Bale came off the bench and scored one or two, the bicycle
kick. Oh, yeah.
So I had the highest scoring non-Bale lineup. Mm-hmm. And it was just like so tilting. But it's like, I was like, at the time, I'm like, who would play him? Because he's a sub. Yeah. And then like over the years, I'm like, that was,
yeah,
I deserved to lose that one because you knew he was on at some point.
I had the same thing happen to me a couple times. And that's when I started thinking about it more. I would get upset too, and like just think like, how bad is this? Like, how unlucky am I? And then I realized that like it's an actual strategy. Mm-hmm. Took me a while to realize that it's a good strategy, but I really believe it is a good strategy. We see teams win with subs. I mean, quite often. But again, it's very risky. You're mm-hmm. gonna lose. You're gonna lose a lot of the time. But it will hit, and when it hits, you're going to win solo. I remember I had the best lineup in the Premier League kickoff this season. They ran a huge showdown. It was Man City versus Arsenal with 50K to first. I had the best lineup that didn't have a sub, but Phil Foden came on in that game and scored a brace in the second half, and a guy won 50,000 solo. So, yeah, and in these games where, you know, at least they project to be cagey, you can see it nil-nil into the second half. When these set piece takers and these attackers, you know, they have 4 points, 5 points, and they get subbed off. I mean, you're just sitting so pretty when your sub comes on in that scenario.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is just remembering that you're really playing this sub for upside. Like, don't.
Right. The most important thing, yeah, is that. And think about the lineup that it's in. Like, it needs to work with the rest of your lineup.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Like, if you're thinking like, oh, Koke is not going to play 90, let me get a sub Thiago. It's like, that's right. Not what we're here for.
Right. No, exactly.
So I think most people are going to build like 3-3 lineups. Like, I think the game is too close. And if How much do you put into, if you think the game is close, like you have to have an even lineup of players? Like, even if you if you think Italy wins this game 2-1, or even, you know, in penalties, does that mean you have to have like a balanced lineup? Or do you think you can just say, no, I'm going to play 5-1 Italy, and maybe that turns out, even if the game turns out to be only 1-0 or 1-1 in the extra time?
Yeah, that's a good question. Normally I don't put too much stock into the 3-3 or 4-2 or whatever balanced construction, I guess. Price ranges, and I guess just the fact, like, I don't know how to say it, but in all different scenarios, like a 5-1 for Italy can get there in a lot of ways. Like in soccer, there's this. Okay, like if you compare it to like NBA or NFL, where there's going to be a close game, it means like there's for sure going to be points on both sides. There's for sure going to be people doing things on other sides or on each side. In this game, the game can be close, like, and that doesn't really matter. Like if someone in the low range is just a better play, like it doesn't. I don't pay attention to it, I guess, is the best way. I mean, I'll think about it if I'm making like a clean sheet lineup, but if I'm, no, I don't go into it thinking like this is a 3-3 slate. I might I'll take players from each side that like I think are going to be in the winning lineup a lot. Like you were saying, like start with a cash build. And if I can have like an even distribution of those players, then like maybe, but it's tough to afford with the salaries. So like floors are so variable for the rest of the players that I don't think it really matters too much.
Okay. That's what I figured, but
I don't know. That was a terrible, terrible answer. But yeah, really bad. I just overall, I don't think it matters too much, I guess.
Yeah. No, but I think that's the answer, that I think people start to worry too much about how many they have on each side. Like we've seen instances where teams win 1-0 with 30% possession. And in those situations, then you need the goal scorer, maybe the goalie of this winning team, but like all of the fantasy points are on the other side, on the losing side.
And it matters when the goal happens.
Sure.
Let's say like there's a 5th-minute goal in this game and it's unassisted. It's possible that only that goal scorer will be viable from, like, if Immobile scores in the 5th minute, he might be the only Italy player that gets there. But on the other end of that, if you know a team's dominating for 85 minutes before they get their goal, then it might be 5-1 the other way.
Right.
So just, I guess, make your lineup make sense, like when the goal happens, I guess, and then what's going to happen after that.
Yep. Yeah, I think the most important thing is that if you look at your lineup and you're like, I have no idea how a game has to play out for this lineup to work, then you might have to rework your lineup.
That's a good point. And that happens. Yeah, that happens quite a bit. Like even like I'm trying to fit set piece guys in and you're looking at it and like, man, this seems pretty hard for this to happen. Then yeah, just go another route.
Right. Like I'm thinking if you go Murata, Immobile, Donnarumma, Simone, that doesn't seem like a path where they all can reach a ceiling.
Right. You're right. That seems very hard. Right. Center forwards with the opposite goalie usually doesn't get there.
Usually not. So now that I've clinched that to work for the for 50,000 tomorrow, if anybody has any follow-up questions for me or Ryan, you can find us in the RotoWire Discord, which is open for all subscribers. Just go to rotowire.com/chat to get in there. If you're not a subscriber and would like to try us out for free for 10 days, just go to rotowire.com/soccer trial. Gets you access to all of the sports that we cover, as well as all the soccer we cover, not just Euros, and that Discord chat. So definitely check that out. If you're watching on YouTube, if you could please hit the like button below. And if you're listening on the regular audio version of the podcast, if you could please rate and review it, if you have not already, wherever you listen. Ryan, thank you for that. Good luck tomorrow. And we'll be back tomorrow to preview Denmark and Italy and England. Excuse me.
Thanks, Andrew. Good luck, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.